Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, July 21st, and we are moving right through our training camp burning question series. Up on this episode, the NFC North with our buddy Cody Benjamin. We'll talk about the Packers, Vikings, Bears, and Lions. Oh, my! In the feed, other burning questions, including the AFC North, which does not feature me. So if you're sick and tired of my whatever agenda you think I've got in this podcast, go listen to John Breach and Ryan Wilson break down the Bengals and Steelers. Thanks to Debo for not making me listen to it. Blah, 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 blah. By the way, go to podcastawards.com/app/signup and go ahead and vote for your boys, the Pick Six Podcast, to advance to the next level on the People's Choice Podcast Awards. That's right. We've been nominated for Best Sports Podcast. Just log in real quick. Type in my name under Favorite Podcast Influencer, if you feel inclined to. And then click the sports button, drop down, select Pick Six Podcast. Ignore Fantasy Football Today, select Pick Six Podcast. And let's go win this thing and get me a tattoo. What do you say, Cody? What's going on, buddy?
I mean, you're up for awards. You've got like the rainbow of Bud Lights in the back. I feel like this podcast is now something I can like put on my resume. I mean, this is the real deal.
You should put it on your resume if you're looking forward to not getting another job in the near future. No, this is we're the number 7 football podcast in Australia or something.
What the hell? you're international.
You are. An official friend of what do we call it, Debo? Not a friend of the podcast. Anybody who does an episode is a friend of the podcast.
Yeah, I'd like to know. Like, I feel like we're going to need like a chart soon. I mean, to know like where, like there's like gradings, you know, like of different colors. I feel like sure. I'm not like, I don't want to boast.
Well, when you're watching the radar to see if there's going to be a big thunderstorm coming. And right. So for instance, last night there was a big one coming in Wilmington where we were at my in-law's house. And you know, it's like green is just rain. Yellow is a lot of rain. Orange, you're getting a little nervous. Red, you're going to bat down the hatches. I got purple last night. So I would say that.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. It was purple. It's kind of terrifying. I was like, we may want to hide. I would say that like, you know,
define the relationship kind of a thing. Like, I feel like we're really starting to get friendly on here. I mean,
I wouldn't put you at red.
Right.
Well, I mean, red would be like, you're on doing the show every day. So I would put you at orange. I think orange is a good spot.
I don't mean to delay this segment any, like it doesn't need to go much longer than this, but I was joking with one of our editors, Brett Anderson, about how I feel like if you're like a real regular on the Pick Six, like you, Brinson, will like easily just like kind of rip into me. Like if I were like that.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like correct. I haven't yet gotten like the actual like this is supposed to hurt jabs from you. So like you know what I'm saying? Like there's you thrown like Sean under the
bus. Well, yeah. Like, that's like, but like I've known, I mean, Wilson, me making fun of Wilson and Breach is that's a whole different.
It's like a family. Yeah. It's a family thing. So
well, it's not even a family. We've just been doing it for so long that it's. I wouldn't want you to, not that I would think you would do this. I wouldn't want you to hang up and be like, wow. You
didn't mean that? Yeah.
So let's get into it. The other thing you can do if you're a regular is you are allowed to derail the podcast without me even flinching. Like, I would not like chatting Debo, like, what is he talking about? I'm like, you know, like, cause sometimes I'll chat Debo, not for you, but I'll be like,
oh boy. Out of that right
now.
Okay.
Let it ride. You're good to go. Let's dive into the NFC North, and we start with the Packers, and it's pretty obvious when you're writing this story, you know, the first thing you do is you go into our CMS and you type Packers and you type, is Aaron Rodgers going to be the quarterback? There's no need. You don't even need to look at the depth chart. You don't even need to ponder anything else about the Green Bay Packers this offseason, because the only burning question is whither Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. I mean, you can nitpick, like even their, like, who's starting opposite Jair Alexander, but that like matters zero. There are definitely
questions, but no one cares.
Exactly. In the grand scheme of, in light of Aaron Rodgers being absent. And yeah, I think so. We were posed to do this as kind of like questions that need to be answered before the season begins. And I think it does need to be, I mean, it obviously needs to be answered before the season begins for the Packers. Is Aaron Rodgers our quarterback? Because I don't see a scenario where if it's week one and Aaron Rodgers isn't in uniform for the Packers, I think it's very hard to believe he's going to be coming back in week three, week four, whatever. I think if it gets to that point, I mean, you need to know, like, what that completely adjusts expectations for the season. Like, week one, week two, week three, you're already in the NFC North race. Like, if Jordan Love is under center, if, I mean, heaven forbid, Blake Bortles is under center, like, you need to know what the expectations are for this year. And obviously, if, like, I know you've mentioned on previous podcasts, like, what's the scenario if Jordan Love, like, looks incredible in the preseason? I mean, that's another thing. Like, the question still has to be resolved by week one. Maybe that gives you more of a leeway to trade Rodgers. I don't know. It has to be answered, though, before the season.
The prevailing logic now you said Adam Schefter tweeted out on Tuesday, I believe his tweet was specifically that – I got to find it in my retweets here. Sorry, I should have had that ready. I thought I had it right here. Crap on me. Basically, the Packers offered Aaron Rodgers a 2-year extension that would lock him into Green Bay for the next 5 years and make him the highest paid player in football, and he turned it down. Now, one of two things can be true here because I don't believe they're mutually exclusive, but – one, that's true, and that the Packers offered him that deal, and there's no gray area around it. And Aaron Rodgers is like, no, I'm done with you. I'm out. I find that difficult to believe because I firmly think, Cody, if they offered him they're like, listen, here's a deal that guarantees you control your future for the next 5 years, and you can guarantee you're in Green Bay for the next 5 years, that he would take it. And so I think what's more likely is that the second scenario, which is that the Packers are trying to curry public favor as we get into training camp. To me, that's what Green Bay is doing by having Adam Schefter tweet that out. And I'm not questioning Adam Schefter's journalistic integrity or the reason why he would tweet that out. I think he was told that by a high-ranking source in Green Bay, by somebody in Green Bay he can trust. And so he's going to tweet that out. But I also think there are probably some extenuating circumstances to whatever may have been offered Aaron Rodgers. I just don't believe he would have turned down that deal. I think that's the deal he wants.
Well, I mean, so what would be the scenario if they didn't actually offer that? Then you're trying to still get Aaron Rodgers back in town by lying about an extension you offered him? I mean, I'm trying to find, like, what would be the logic? I know you'd be currying public favor, but for what? An inevitable trade of Aaron Rodgers? Like we tried, but...
If you're the Packers at this point, you've decided we're not trading Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
And if he wants to play, he has to play for us. But you need the fans.
But then couldn't Aaron Rodgers at some point come out? And he's been kind of like, he hasn't been like overt in his displeasure. He's been like, he has in some way.
No, he hasn't. Like, I think you're right.
He's been
coy.
Like intentionally subtle about like poking fun at the Packers. But you don't think that, in that scenario, Rodgers' camp wouldn't come back with their own kind of a public favor thing, like saying, no, absolutely not. They did not offer me the highest deal. I think that's possible. But the other thing is, I know The Athletic reported earlier this offseason, and others probably have as well, that money is not the issue. And I know what you're saying. It'd be hard to be offered to be the highest paid player in football to have 5 years under contract in Green Bay. I mean, they're basically saying Jordan Love, that experiment is done if you're doing that. And so you would be regaining power in Green Bay. But if the reality is that he doesn't care about the money, he's truly just done with this organization, then it would make sense if he turned it down. But that does seem like is he really going to do that to go play for the Broncos? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's very – there's different layers to it. And we don't know. Maybe he just said, I'm done with Green Bay. I don't want to play here anymore. I want to play somewhere else. I want to have some say-so in what the team does. You guys won't give that to me. And so I'm simply not going to play for this team any longer.
Because he also knows if he doesn't – like, if he plays – if he retires, for this season or whatever. Like, let's say he comes back in 2022 or he goes to the Broncos and then he goes to free agency, whatever, like whatever scenario, somebody would make him the highest paid player in football, right? Like, he doesn't have to take that in Green Bay. I mean, do you think, I mean, he's the reigning MVP.
He's pretty old.
Well, I mean, look at Tom. I mean, Tom Brady didn't break, I guess.
I don't know that I would want to be tied to Aaron Rodgers for the next 5 years.
I don't either. But I'm saying, like, if he hits the market somehow, I think that, like, Denver would easily make him the highest paid player in football. Las Vegas easily would, like, if they have that room and that flexibility.
So here's what Ryan Wood of PackersNews.com says, too. And that's the Green Bay Post-Gazette, Green Bay Press Gazette, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel combined together. He confirmed the report from Schefter. He said, in an attempt to mend the relationship with Aaron Rodgers, the Packers offered a contract extension this offseason that would have tied the quarterback to the team for the next 5 seasons, sources confirmed. That's why I think it's kind of interesting, because tying Aaron Rodgers to the Packers for the next 5 years does not guarantee Aaron Rodgers' future over the next 5 years. And I guess that I know this sounds like crazy semantics, but the Packers have done this before. When they announce big contracts, they announce it leading into the season. They like to make it a big, you know, doing the whatever, what's the Green Bay dance they do? Like, I was like, I'm happy to know it. I don't know what's wrong with me today. But the point being is that they like to make it a big thing. Like, oh, season's starting. I mean, lots of teams do this. It's the old school way of PR thinking around the NFL and, you know, make fans happy. We got to lock down the MVP, et cetera, et cetera. This offer is not made immediately after Rodgers' third MVP season, but rather after it became apparent the relationship between team and quarterback was fractured, one source told Packers News. It was believed that the Packers' initial hesitancy to make any meaningful alterations to Rodgers' contract after the season only exacerbated the quarterback's frustrations. But the Packers regrouped to offer an extension that would expire after Rodgers' age 42 season.
There's so many things to unpack from that. Like,
I don't think there's anything clear cut about this, is what I'm saying.
No. And you're saying tying Rodgers to them for 5 years. I mean, his current contract ties him to the Packers beyond this season. And
correct.
So you can say semantics, but, like, that's how you have
He's
to talk
tied
about
to the
it.
Packers for the next three
right.
years.
I mean, we say that about anyone who signs an extension, right? They've locked him up through 2025. Well, on paper, yes, but they can actually get out of it in 2022. I mean, that's, I know Joel Corey has talked tons about, he believes, like, the Packers' plan all along was get out of the Aaron Rodgers contract after this coming season. That's why they spent a first-round pick on Jordan Love, and Aaron Rodgers probably sees that. So throw on another 100%. 2 years. Yeah, throw on another 2 years of the contract. We have no idea what that contract offer, if it happened, looks like.
So let's say, but to your point, I don't think you're wrong at all. I think, this is what I've been saying all along, is that what I think happened is, and we're going to probably talk more about the Packers than the other three teams in the division, but we'll see. Let's say he is currently tied to the Packers for 3 years, right? Or is it 2 more years? 3 years after this? 2 more years.
After this season? So I think it's 2021, 22, and 23, right? He's under contract through 2023, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll bring it up with our old pals here at SpotTrack. He has the 2021 season. And they couldn't cut him right now. It would be a disaster from a cap standpoint. It would just have a bunch of dead money moving forward. But in 2022, $39 million cap hit, $17 million dead cap. So you would save $22 million in cap space. That's a lot. In 2023, $28.3 million cap hit, $2.85 million in cap space. Now, again, if you want to use semantics, whether he's on the roster or off the roster, he is tied to the Packers in 2023. Like, they're going to have $2.85 million in dead cap space. He will be on their roster sheet. If I were an NFL team, that's how I would phrase it. He's tied to us. So what you do is you guarantee the next 2 years, 2022 and 2023, you get you through Aaron Rodgers' age 40 season. And then you have 2 more years after that where you're like, look, we can get out from under it. I think they probably showed that to Rodgers, and Rodgers is like, this is the same thing I'm dealing with right now. I don't want that. What don't you understand about my contract demands?
Yeah.
I said, I want this. You said, no. I said, you drafted a quarterback in the first round. I've lit the world on fire, and now I want what I asked for, and you're not giving it to me.
Then we're just getting into the philosophical conversation that I know you've had with, like, Pete Prisco this offseason about, like, okay, who has the ultimate say? The star quarterback or the general manager? Now, we all probably agree we'd rather have Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, than like the Packers front office altogether. But like at the end of the day, like,
but you need a front office.
Like you just said, you'd be hesitant to commit to him for 5 years. And I would too, even though he's Aaron Rodgers. And so
there's no way they are locking him in fully guaranteed for the next 5 years with this contract offer that we're being told about now.
Right. And so maybe like, I don't know what it is. Like we've been talking about this in circles for months, but like, is it money? Is it control? Like, but control is money in some sense, like in this scenario.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, but welcome like, if to he, America. Welcome if, to the NFL.
If he gets out, he's at least out from under this, like, cause he's talked about, he has a disagreement with their philosophy there. But is he going to get that in Denver or who at, like, I don't know.
I think it's at the point where while he would like a Tom Brady situation, he really just wants to get out. So I don't know what he's going to do if they tell him they won't trade him, because then he's just sort of jammed. So we're still in the same spot we were a while ago. And that's why, you know, if you're going to come up with a secondary question, and you referenced it already to the Packers, just we're not going to dive deep in this, but can Jordan Love look like a starting quarterback in training camp? Because if he does, that changes the equation here for Green Bay.
Yeah, a little bit. I think, to bring it back to the question, like, is Aaron Rodgers the, I mean, they just have to, whether that's with a new deal, whether that's with trading him, like obviously that's not the best case scenario for the Packers. But they have to have that figured out. I mean, I just think, I guess having Aaron Rodgers for 13 weeks is better than having him for none, you know, if he shows up late. But I mean, my goodness, you're playing with fire.
You are playing with fire if you're the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, the other three teams in the NFC North.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What happens when Aaron Rodgers is in a holdout in the offseason? We've actually done a fairly good job of minimizing the Aaron Rodgers talk, but training camps here, it's nut cutting time, so to speak. Probably not the appropriate phrase to use, but just go with it. Nut punching time would be what my son would say. He's into nut punches. It's not a fun age at all. But there are three other teams in the NFC North, including the Minnesota Vikings. And your burning question for Minnesota and Mike Zimmer, is Danielle Hunter fully healthy? I think it's a good one. This guy's a defensive player of the year candidate if he is healthy, if he's out there, if he's playing and he changes that defense. Sorry, I sort of stumbled there because I got an alert from CBSSports.com and it was into the breach, colon. And it's something about Aaron Rodgers, but that was how they led the alert.
Oh, into the breach. Is that from John Breach or is it spelled different? You're talking about?
No, I think it's into the breach. I think it's a John Breach article. Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers received a monstrous contract offer for burning question. I don't know what breach did. Oh, it's breach's newsletter.
Okay, yeah, it's the newsletter. Sounds
which, like by the way, Cody fills in on once a week. Breach only does it 4 days a week. That's the other reason why you're a part of the orange radar Pick Six Pod family. You do the freaking newsletter. Anywho, Danielle Hunter.
Yes. I think there are bigger picture questions that are more exciting about the Vikings. Like, oh, could Kellen Mond take over later? But if we're talking about this season, before the season, the pieces are in play. Like it's Kirk Cousins, it's Dalvin Cook, it's a play action, like play good defense. You're hoping for a defensive turnaround. I think the biggest reason the Vikings, outside of like Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, those playmakers, the biggest reason they should be better this year, and we both, I think, have talked about them being underrated, is the defense should be back to Mike Zimmer normal. And Danielle Hunter is a huge reason for that. Obviously, missing him last year was huge. They don't really have many other proven pass rushers, if any, like proven starting pass rushers besides Danielle Hunter. And it kind of trickles back with the rest of the defense. I mean, I think another question on there is, can the veteran cover guys that they got, you know, our friend Patrick Peterson, Bashaud Breeland, they brought some veteran faces into the secondary. If all those guys are just like serviceable this year, that defense should be a lot better.
Yeah. And if that, you know, we did the Bud Light hot takes for the podcast. Obviously, you have people get hot and bothered if you try to do a hot take. But I think there's a case to be made that whether Aaron Rodgers comes back or not, that the Minnesota Vikings can win this division. Now, the Packers are a better roster. Well, I mean, I don't know, they're not that much better. They're probably a better roster. But if the defense gets back to where it was in 2019 and 2018 and before, and Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and Irv Smith takes a leap forward and Dalvin Cook plays 16 games, the Vikings can win this division, especially if there's – we have to assume that if Aaron Rodgers plays, he, like you said, maybe it's 13 games, maybe he's not happy, maybe it's less. So whether he comes back or not, I think the Vikings have a real chance to steal this division. And Danielle Hunter's a big part. You have to have a pass rush. They didn't have anything last year, it felt like. And they, you know, they lost, you know, they, Michael Pierce opted out last season. But it, I think the Danielle Hunter question can sort of be the microcosmic version of, can the defense get back to where it was under Mike Zimmer? And if Danielle Hunter isn't ready to be Danielle Hunter, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I agree, because I think, like, you just look at their depth chart on the defensive line. I mean, Dalvin Tomlinson, they just brought back, who did they bring back, a defensive tackle? I'm for blanking on the name.
Michael Pierce.
Yeah, and also Sheldon Richardson.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've got interior guys, but outside of Danielle Hunter on the edges.
Some edge guys. They got to get some edge pressure. Right.
Right. But, yeah, I think, like, with the Vikings.
Oh, sorry, Sheldon Richardson was mad about being asked about a prove-it deal. He's like, I don't need to prove anything. I'm great. It's like, No. It's just it's a way to phrase a one-year deal. Settle down, buddy.
Yeah, like, as long as it's the Mike Zimmer, Kirk Cousins contingent at quarterback, head coach, like, I'm not necessarily ready to believe they're Super Bowl contenders, but I'm also not ready to say they're going to bottom out. Like, I think, and I pointed this out before, every year under Mike Zimmer, the Vikings have gone in the playoffs, out of the playoffs, in the playoffs, and they're due to be back in this year. I think they definitely can win.
He's never been worse than 7-9. I know that's right.
I think they're at least wild card material. And so, yeah, I mean, the defense, though, is the key. And, you know, we'll be watching Danielle Hunter this summer.
Yeah. When you look at that, you know, they went 13-3. They had a very good defensive rating. Looking at the, you know, just the Pro Football References, they go 8-7-1. The defensive rating slipped, then 10-6. It bounced back. And then 7-9, it cratered out at -3.8 in terms of the rating system. So they sort of go to some degree as their defense goes. And if that defense bounces back, you have to like the Vikings' chances of being much better and maybe stealing the division, even though people got really bothered when I suggested that the Vikings could win the division, which is just not that crazy of an idea. The Chicago Bears, as we pointed out with Sully in either a previous or later podcast, because I can't remember because they all blend together now, it's hard not to talk about quarterbacks when you talk about like what's each team's burning question, particularly when you have a guy like Justin Fields, who is in theory the future franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears. He's waiting in the wings. So the question has to be, how long is Andy Dalton's leash?
Exactly. I mean, I think that there are other questions that supplement the quarterback position. So their offensive line, I mean, is it playoff caliber? Because they've shuffled some pieces there. I don't see, like, Bears fans point at Darnell Mooney and they say, like, the wide receiver core is, like, is good. I mean, I don't know.
No, it's not. It is not.
So, like, outside of Allen Robinson, I don't see a proven
outside of unhappy Allen Robinson, by the way.
Right. And, like, if you're banking on, like, Marquise Goodwin, like, Tariq Cohen coming out wide, like, I just, there are weapons questions there in Chicago as well. But
you would need a multi breakout. Let's say Allen Robinson says, nah, F y'all, I'm out. You would need a multi-series breakout of Damir Bird, Riley Ridley, and Anthony Miller.
Which,
probably, I mean, not likely.
Right. So, but the biggest question, yeah, how long is Andy Dalton's leash? Because, first of all, I think you have to take into account those, like, the offensive line and the weapons. Like, are you going to put Justin Fields out there if it's just a trash off. Like, if everything is falling apart, now you have to think of it from the perspective of like Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, who are in probably a make or break year. And are they going to be willing to yank Andy Dalton out of there because they need some kind of post 2021 like promise? And so I'm just curious, is like, is it an 0-3 start? Is that good enough to get Justin Fields in there? Is it like halfway through the season? I think that the Bears need to have an idea of that before you're going into week one, which they've already basically ushered to Andy Dalton on a platter.
Yeah. I mentioned this talking about Cam versus Mac Jones and Jimmy G versus Trey Lance. You know, I want to be a little bit more fair to the Bears here, but because I think what they're doing is wrong. It's more about Andy Dalton than it is about their process. Just the idea that, like, he can't get the starting job. Like, I think the 49ers and the Patriots won't give the starting job to the rookies, but I think they're at least leaving the idea open that if the rookies are incredible, we're not going to hurt our team's chances to win this year out of some bizarre principled approach where the veteran has to start. It feels like the Bears are doing that, and I disagree with it. So that was sort of the take there. But yeah, I mean, that's clearly the big question when it comes to Chicago. I would anticipate that we see something similar to what we saw with Mitchell Trubisky and Mike Glennon, just because the Bears are a flat circle. Finally, the Lions. I like this burning question. What is the existence of the Lions? No, we said, what is 2021 all about, and what is an acceptable win total for the Lions? It really is. It's sort of just that's why Lions fans aren't, that's why they're rooting. They're almost Rams fans this year.
Right.
Rooting for Matthew Stafford. You know, it's like, they're not expecting anything out of this team. Just go out and show something.
Yeah. Like, if you're like, what do the Lions need to know going into week one? I think they need to have some kind of a measuring point, like a barometer for like, what do we need to see from the Dan Campbell regime like this year? What do we need to see? Like, does Jared Goff, another one of my questions in our story was, does Jared Goff have a legitimate chance to keep this job? Like, I think that you have to have some idea of like, is he going to be given a fair opportunity this season? I mean, with the supporting cast, or obviously they have future draft picks. No one's committing to him long-term right now, but I think like for Lions, like the Lions fans and the people that work for the Lions, like everyone knows that the most important thing this year isn't competing for the NFC North, but like figuring out a vision for moving forward. And so I don't know if it's fair to like put a win total on the year, because you never know how the season actually plays out. But yeah, like what would have to go wrong for you to feel bad about the division? That, I think you have to have that idea going into the year.
Yeah, I think if they win the division, then it's build a statue of Dan Campbell or Jared Goff or something, right? I mean, yeah, I really think it is find a vision. I like it. Find a vision, because they don't have one, and they haven't had one for a long time. So do it now. All right, Curdy, as always, excellent stuff. We'll be talking to you on the another division coming up shortly.
Thanks for having me.
World of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!